feathered flock that haunt our sea-girt isle. As the poet has it. And as far as I'm concerned, he can keep it.
Yes, quote, unquote, we present another edition of the quizzical quotation game devised and introduced by Nigel Rees.
Hello again, and our quotation spotters this week have all been at it before. They are Alan Curran, Richard Ingrams, Norma Shepherd, and Kenneth Williams, who's already got his voice into the programme, and as the Duke of Wellington said...
I don't know what effect they'll have on the enemy, but by God, they terrify me.
But I'm all right, because I've got Ronald Fletcher at my side. So, Ronnie, would you care to fire the first quotation at Richard Ingrams?
I'm going to spend and spend and spend.
Ah, yes. That was Harold Wilson. Introducing one of his budgets. But in fact, it was said by a lady who won a lot of money in the pools.
Yes. Do you happen to know her name?
No.
Norma, are you itching to tell me?
Can't remember her name.
Her name was Vivian Nicholson.
That's right.
She was a miner's wife, and she won more than $150,000 on the football pools, which was a lot of money in those days, and she proceeded to spend, spend, spend. Right, Norma Shepherd, the next quotation is so well known that I wouldn't dream of asking you who first said it. What I'd like to know is... who's quoting it on this recording?
We British, Scots, Welsh, English, Irish, who in the past earned respect throughout the world, have one more loan to come. One more transfusion for the nation that twice nearly bled to death for freedom. A nation that Churchill offered only blood and toil, tears and sweat.
I wonder if that knocks upon your memory.
Oh, dear.
Knocks upon your memory. Just to give you the opportunity of getting the...
Oh, right. It wasn't. It can't have been
it was.
Him. Was it?
Oh, Huey Green.
Yeah. Huey Green.
Huey Green. Yes. Telling us all to pull our socks up at the end of last year in a record called Stand Up and Be Counted. And the original quotation, of course, Churchill's House of Commons speech in May 1940. I would say to the House, as I have said to those who have joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears and sweat.
Well,
Kenneth Williams, again, you ought to know this. From whence comes the phrase...
something nasty in the woodshed?
It's Philip Gibbons, cock on the farm. And it's the old star cat. It's... oh, what's her name? It's grandmother. It's the grandmother.
Oh, it is, but you're absolutely right. It's from Cold Comfort Farm by Stella Gibbons, so you've got two marks.
It is the grandmother, I'm sure.
Yes, well done. Alan Carr, who said this? Indeed, who is always saying this?
You see, the trouble with Freud was he never played Second House Friday Night at the Glasgow Empire.
Well, I'm tempted to say one of the Morecambes and Wises, but I think it's actually...
I think he's somebody who has theorised on humour a little bit, as well as... practicing it. Anybody know?
Give us a clue.
I didn't want to tickle you with the...
Oh, it's not Dodd, is it?
Yes.
Good gracious.
Yes. Kenneth Dodd.
Most uncharacteristic, I would have thought.
And it's in the Penguin Dictionary of Modern Quotations, and it's so it's endlessly quoted, chiefly by Ken Dodd. though sometimes he changes Friday night at the Glasgow Empire to Saturday night. Subtle point, that. Back for more to Richard Ingrams. I wonder if you can spot anything in common between these two quotations. First...
I myself have always deprecated appeals to the Dunkirk spirit.
And second?
I believe that the spirit of Dunkirk will carry us through to success.
Yes, I answered this. I gave the answer to this question before.
Yes.
When I named Whislon, or Sir Harold Wilson as he now is. Shortly after becoming Prime Minister, he announced, I deplore appeals to the Dunkirk spirit. And was later found appealing for it like everyone else.
Yes. I think it was in fact before he became Prime Minister in 1961, and as soon as he became Prime Minister in 64, he then proceeded to appeal to it. Right. We now know that the answer to every question which we put to Richard Ingrams is Harold Wilson.
Or Lady Forkender.
Yes. Norma Shepherd, for you, another sad comment on the state of Britain. Who made it?
For some 20 years, Britain's voice has not been heard in our planet. Its character has gone, its freshness has faded. And Britain's position in the world today is of less significance than that of Romania. Or even Uganda.
Even Uganda, the cruelest cuss.
Oh.
It was...
Enoch Powell.
No.
It's usually Americans who make marks.
And it wasn't an American.
No.
And it was last year. And it was said in a foreign language. And none of you seems to know. So I will have to tell you that it was said by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. On his visit to Britain in that year. Not a very nice thing to say.
Oh, that's none of his business, is it?
Well, he said it nevertheless, so
who
no
does
marks.
He think he is?
Yeah.
Kenneth Williams, a film clip for you. Just a thing for radio. I should like to know the name of the artist and the source of the quotation.
Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, £21. Result, misery. That advice is so far worth taking, I have never taken it myself, and am the miserable creature you behold.
It's Dunsey Fields, playing, I think, Mr. Micawber.
Yes. But what was the name of the film?
Well, whatever the thing is that Dickens wrote, whoever called
it. I'm asking you!
Copperfield, David Copperfield.
Yes, thank well you. Done.
They would have changed the title.
All right.
That was the 1934 remake of David Copperfield. In fact, the quotation as spoken by W.C. Fields was slightly scrambled, so Ronald, can we have the full version?
Yep. Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, £19.19.6. Result, happiness. Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, £20, aught and six. Result, misery. The blossom is blighted, the leaf is withered, the god of day goes down upon the dreary scene, and, in short, you are forever flawed, as I am.
Right, well done, and what am I saying, well done for? It's all written out for him, isn't it? Anyway, you read it awfully well. Alan Corran, back to wartime for you. How did this expression come about?
Russians with snow on their boots.
It's actually the First World War. A rumour spread that Russians had been seen, I think, Euston Station, or Waterloo Station. Because there was some feeling that after the Bolshevik Revolution, the Russian deserters would come to Britain and create all sorts of havoc. And there was always a terror that the Russians would appear, How long should I go on like this, Nigel?
Well, rather curious remark that they, even if they did arrive at Euston Station, they would still have snow on their boots. In fact, the rumour was in September 1914 that a million Russian troops had landed at Aberdeen and passed through England on their way to the Western Front, and as if to give more sort of veracity to the rumour, it was said that they still had snow on their boots. And that's how that phrase came about. Now I'm going to ask you about some quotations that have been used as the titles of books, films and programmes. First, Richard Ingrams. Dirk Bogarde's first volume of autobiography is called...
A Postillion Struck by Lightning.
Why did he use that phrase, do you think?
Well, I was going to say Harold Wilson again. I can't get
anything. He's wearing a bit thin.
Yes. The Postillion has been struck by lightning it comes out of a foreign phrase book. Originally, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's a comic.
Circa 1898.
Can it be given chapter and verse or not?
Or is it
apocryphal?
No.
I would say it probably doesn't.
And if you read Dirk Bogarde's book, it won't help you find out where it came from either. Anyway, Norma Shepherd. There was once a long-running programme on ITV called...
All Our Yesterdays.
Now, with your great knowledge of Shakespeare, where did that title come from? If you don't know, we'll have to have Kenneth Williams reciting it all.
I can recite it all on this occasion.
Macbeth.
All right. It was Macbeth. Can you now tell me the quotation as you know it so well?
No, I can't.
Kenneth.
I think Kenneth can.
Do you tomorrow know? And tomorrow and tomorrow. Cream in this petty paste from day to day. The last little recorded time and all I guess today is the blighted fools the way to dusty death. Goes on, out, out, three candle, doesn't it? Out, out, it goes on, you see. Out, out,
right,
out.
You've got your mark, Kenneth. And Norma's got hers for saying that it was indeed from Macbeth. And now, Kenneth, the one aimed at you, a biography, had the title...
The Talent to Amuse.
Who was it about and where did the title come from?
Coward. Coward?
Yes.
The title comes from, I believe that since my life began, the most I've had is just a talent to amuse. Hey-ho, if love were all, I would be lonely.
Yes, well, we're going to hear the master sing it in just a moment, but let me just slot in the fact that it was the title of Sheridan Morley's biography of Nell Carden. Here he is, singing it.
What I believe that since my life began, the most I've had is just a talent to amuse. Hey-ho, if love were all.
Do apologize for the quality of the record. Finally, Alan Corran, a recent film was called...
Mean Streets.
Now, why should it have been called that?
It's not a very long, but I would guess it's probably taken from Chandler, Down These Mean Streets a Man Must Go.
You're absolutely right. I mustn't say absolutely right, because there is a listener in Dorking who complains every time I say absolutely right, so I will say quite so. It was what Raymond Chandler said in his essay, The Simple Art of Murder, about the heroic qualities a detective should have. Down these mean streets a man should go who is not himself mean, who is neither tarnished nor afraid. And talking of being tarnished, let's look at the score. Kenneth Williams has 7 marks, Richard Ingrams has 6, Alan Corran has 6, and Norma Shepherd has 4. But we've a long way to go yet, and following that last round, here's a big opportunity for you all. I want you to imagine that you have written your autobiography, and I want you to choose a quotation for the title and tell me why you think it's appropriate. Richard Ingrams.
Well, I didn't have any ideas. Having heard of Nell Card's Talent to Amuse, I thought I could title my memoirs A Talent to Abuse. But I did also... think of a title for Kenneth Williams' memoirs. It could be Mein Kampf.
Well, you've got Norma Shepherd sitting between you, isn't it? Norma, did you choose a title?
Well, I did one for myself. Because I work on That's Life with Cyril Fletcher and Esther Anson, and I spend all my time sifting through all those awful jokes that people send in, I got one from Keats, and it's about Ruth from the Bible. And it said, she stood in tears amid the alien corn. And actually, I asked our editor, John Morell, today if I could bring along a few of the jokes to give you an example of what we have to put up with. And I said, can I have the worst, rotten, corny, low-grade jokes to take along there?
Low-grade or low-grade?
And he said, no, darling, you can't. They're the ones that are going in the show. Anyway, I thought that I could write a little bit about coming along here and call that chapter She Stood in Tears Amid the Alan Corran.
There you go.
Oh. Ouch. I think we'd better move on rapidly. Oh, to Kenneth Williams.
Mine is not an autobiography. Mine is the suggested title for the biography of Little... Miss Muffet. As you know, she sat on her tuffet eating her wopsits, and I would entitle it, I Did It My Way.
Yes. Just like George Brown, he called his book, what did he call it? It wasn't quite My Way, it was... In My Way. But he still thought it was Frank Sinatra's song. Alien Corran.
Well, I didn't have one for myself either. I had one for you, Nigel.
Oh,
I think
dear.
Of you in one of your many other roles, doing that fearful stint at at dawn every day on the Today programme, I thought I would call your biography The Boding Tremblers. Partly because I like The Boding Tremblers, and it sounds like something fearful that's done vertically against bus stations. But...
Can I sue?
No, it's actually a quote from Goldsmith. Well had the Boding Tremblers learned to trace the day's disasters in his morning face.
Oh. Well, I shall bear it in mind. Don't forget, listening at home, that if you have any ideas on this subject, titles for books by infamous people, but they must be based on quotations, then we'd be glad for you to join in. Drop us a line at, quote, unquote, BBC Broadcasting House, London, W1A4WW, and we shall be delighted to hear from you. And so, once again, to catchphrases, I'd simply like to know whose they are and from which show they come. Richard Ingrams, do you recognize this catchphrase and a half?
And now, here's the man with the news of the present, the man to whom the news wouldn't be the news without the news. Here's Dickie.
No, I can't do that.
Before you started watching television?
Is it someone on the telly? It can't be Angela Rippon, can it?
Well, quite near. Anybody know? Alan Karen.
I know what his first name is. It's Dan. I was just thinking how... it's the laughing couple, but I was thinking how extraordinary it is, how quickly they've disappeared and vanished.
Gone,
I can't
gone.
Recall his name.
It's Dan Roan.
Dan Roan.
And the other half is Dick Martin. Roan and Martin's laughing.
All gone.
And I think that introduction, which was used every week, was based on a rendering of the same announcement by Goldie Hawn, who always got things wrong. Here's the man with the news of the present, the man to whom the news wouldn't be the news without the news. Here's Dickie. How about that? Well, moving on from this archaeology, Norma Shepherd, a shorter catchphrase for you.
Just like that.
Do it in character. Can you do it in character?
No.
Either Morecambe or Wise.
No.
Offer it to us, Alan Conn.
I only jump in because I want to say I don't really know the quote, but the fez is familiar. it's actually Mr. Cooper.
Yes, Mr. Tommy Cooper. And of course, it all depends on how you say it. You know, just like that.
Well, how does he say it?
He's got a song about it.
Now, big ears set with knowledge. Come here, you little brat. Stop asking silly questions. And something. Oh! Just like that. Now, Dracula met this girl one night, an honest Jew, they said. She said, I do feel like a fight, so he bit her. Just like that.
Just like that. Just like that.
Thank you very much.
Not like this, and not like that. It can't be left, or right or wrong. It must be just like that.
Ah, wasn't that nice? Kenneth Williams, another three-word catchphrase for you, not quite as current as the last one.
I'm in charge.
I'm in charge. Bruce Forsyth?
Yes. In the good old days of Sunday night at the London Palladium. Do you know how it came about?
No, do enlighten me.
Yes, I will.
One night in Beat the Clock, a young couple got in a muddle while throwing china plates at a seesaw table. Brucey said, hold on a minute, I'm in charge. The audience roared, the rest is history. And here's the song.
If you were in the army, and if I were your sarge, I'd be very pally, even at Rivali.
Have a lie in, boys. Bit cold this morning, so what I'll do, I'll bring you a cup of tea about 11:30. I'm in charge!
Bruce Forsyth, who now has some other catchphrases which he plays with and repeats frequently. Finally, Alan Corran.
That is your French. That is your actual French.
The catchphrase?
Yes.
I think I read it very well. I don't think I could do it.
Kenneth, could you perhaps deliver it?
I think it's bound up with something in my own past.
Yes. Why don't you tell us?
I can't recall. I've acted so many roles. But I can't recall. Is it written by Peter Cook?
No, it's from Round the Horn.
Round the Horn?
Julian and Sandy. Do you remember? Taking the inside leg measurements and all that?
Oh, I see, yeah.
That's your French, your actual French. Now you have a catchphrase called Stop Messing About.
Stop Messing About. That came entirely from the Hancock Half Hour series when Galtman said it's a rather thing. And I had to say to him, Tony Hancock, this is about how I was born. I had to say to him, let's be friends. Go on, let's be friends. Let's do little fingers. Go on.
And he kept refusing, get away from me, get away from me. And I would say, no, go on, no, stop it now. And that's how I was born. And everyone liked it so much, they kept on putting it in weaker free.
And quite right, too. Now then, after catchphrases, well, we'll move on to epitaphs. Richard Ingram's, to whom does this epitaph apply?
Si monumentum requiris circumspicie.
Ah, yes, Mr. Cromer, classical education comes in handy, you see.
Can you translate it?
Yes, it means, if you require si requiris monumentum, a monument, circumspicie, look around. And it is the epitaph of Sir Christopher Wren.
Yes.
In St. Paul's Cathedral.
Written by his son.
Can't give any jokes.
Not many jokes about epitaphs, but we will see about that. More Latin for you, Norma.
Ubi saeva indignatio, ulterius cor lacerare nequit.
Sorry, I missed the second word. Where is... I got the rest. Seaway. No, it should be... I've got no. Somebody... Where...
Yes, but you didn't get that because I've been watching.
I did. He's written it in Latin here.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll tell you
and
what.
I've got somebody's
where burning
heart
indignation no longer lacerates his heart. That is what it is.
Burning indignation no longer lacerates his heart.
Very nice, I think. Very nice. Sold him.
I'm glad he's feeling better, but I don't know the answer.
Anybody?
It's
say it out loud, Alan.
Swift.
Yes, Dean Jonathan Swift, his epitaph in St. Patrick's Cathedral, Dublin. He himself also wrote something called On the Death of Dr. Swift, which is over the page, Ronnie.
So it is. Yet malice never was his aim. He lashed the vice but spared the name. No individual could resent where thousands equally were meant.
And so on and so on. Kenneth Williams, here's someone else coming up with his or her own epitaph.
Excuse my dust.
Oh, God, this is in the back of my head, you know what I mean? Yes, in the back of my head.
Yes.
Is it English or American?
Oh, it's an American expression, really, isn't it?
Is it Dorothy Parker, then?
Mm, yes. Dorothy Parker.
It's in the back of my head, you know what I mean? I had to feel round for that.
Yes. Well, you got it out in the end. Well done. In a poem called Her Own Epitaph. Alan Corran, back to something that's actually written on a gravestone. Whose?
Good friend, for Jesus' sake forbear to dig the dust enclosed here. Blessed be the man that spares these stones, and cursed be he that moves my bones.
I don't know what's anything underneath. It's the Walsingham grave, isn't it? It's Shakespeare. It's supposed to be the curse that prevents Americans who want to make a few bob out of the disputed authorship of the plays moving the Walsingham sarcophagus.
Yes.
Stratford,
yes.
Isn't it?
It's Shakespeare's epitaph on his tomb in the church at Stratford-on-Avon, and it's said to have been chosen by himself. While we're on the subject, we're going to end the programme with some more epitaphs. These are ones which I've asked the panel to think about in advance. I would like them to take the opportunity to provide a suitably telling epitaph for absolutely anyone they think deserves one. Big opportunity. Richard Ingram's.
Well, I didn't think of this in advance, actually. I thought of it just now when we were talking of Bruce Forsyth. I would hate him to die. But I thought what a marvellous epitaph it would be to put on his grave, didn't he do well? And then leave a space for passers-by to sort of fill in their own.
Norma.
I thought I'd do one for Jimmy Savile, because I thought nobody else would if I didn't. But I searched around, and the only remarkable thing I could find about him was his multicoloured hair. So I wrote, wait for it, he died.
Talking of multicoloured hair, Ronald Fletcher, have you got one?
Oh, yes. Here lies David Steele, a goodly friend and neighbour. He made a liberal Labour deal, most liberal, to Labour.
we've been mean. Alan Curran.
Well, I actually borrowed mine from somebody else. I borrowed it from The Hunting of the Snark, and I thought it would do for the mass grave of the panel and the devisers of this program. It's simply, they were all of them fond of quotations. I think for my own, given what the scoreline is going to look
died,
like...
That didn't it, really?
I like Emerson's line, which is just, I hate quotation.
Yeah.
Oh. I'll have that.
All right, you have that. Yeah. Kenneth Williams, fine then.
Mine is on the memorial to someone who went down on the Titanic, and it says, waiter, I know I ordered ice, but this is ridiculous.
So, finally, a look at the score. And may I tell you that this week, Alan Corrin has got 13, Kenneth Williams has got 11, and Richard and Norma did awfully well. And don't forget to let us have your ideas on quotations as titles for autobiographies, and indeed your ideas for epitaphs, too. We'll leave you this week with one of my favourite epitaphs. I don't know to whom it was applied, but I could think of a few people. The epitaph which said...
Under this sod lies another one.
Goodbye.
Taking part in quote-unquote were Alan Corran, Richard Ingrams, Norma Shepherd and Kenneth Williams. The quotations were read by me, Ronald Fletcher. The program was devised and introduced by Nigel Rees and produced by John Lloyd.